A. Activities. Lakshanam. Characteristics. Translation. The activities and characteristics of the ethereal elements can be observed as accommodation for the room of the external and internal existences of all living entities, namely the field of activities of the vital air, the senses, and the mind. Report by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The mind, the senses, and the vital force, or living entity, have forms, although they are not visible to the naked eye. Form rests in subtle existence in the sky, and internally it is perceived as the veins within the body and the circulation of the vital air. Externally, there are invisible forms of sense objects. The production of the invisible sense objects is the external activity of the ethereal element, and the circulation of vital air and blood is its internal activity. That subtle forms exist in the ether has been proven by modern science, by transmission of television, by which forms or photographs of one place are transmitted to another place by the action of the ethereal element. This verse is the potential basis of great scientific research work, for it explains how subtle forms are generated from the ethereal element, what their characteristics and actions are, and how the tangible elements, namely air, fire, water, and earth, are manifested from a subtle form. Mental activities or psychological actions of thinking, feeling, and willing are also activities on the platform of ethereal existence. A statement in Bhagavad Gita that the mental situation at the time of death is the basis of the next birth is also corroborated in this verse. Mental existence transforms into tangible form as soon as there is an opportunity due to contamination of or development of the gross elements from subtle form. Oma gyan timadandasya ginangina shalakaya chakshur unmilitam jena tasmai sigurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Sva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakti Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Nama Hare. Don't block the way now. I want her to see me when I'm transiting. And also, you have to give her some water because she's the one who's coughing, not me. Om Om Hrim Shrom Om Pat Om Tataka Hataka Keshika Jalat Padaka Lochana Benharaka Naka Sparsadava Singha Namostate Ugram Viram Mahavishnum Jwalantam Sharvatomukam Shringam Vishanam Badram Mrityor Mityam Namamiham. So to the newcomer or the neophyte devotee, this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam might sound a little complicated. In fact, even after reading the verse and the purport, if I asked most of you what was spoken about, you probably couldn't tell me. Because it's quite scientific. In Krishna consciousness, we also have scientific knowledge. It's called Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga was given to us by an incarnation of the Lord called Kapila Dev. Not to be confused with the impersonalist Kapila Dev. Those of you who are well versed in Vedic history, you'll know there's two Kapila Devs. One Kapila Dev was an impersonalist, and the other Kapila Dev was a personalist because he was the Supreme Person. He took birth in the womb of Mother Devahuti, and his father was Kardama Muni. His name was Lord Kapila Dev. And he very kindly expounded or spoke the philosophy of Sankhya Yoga. The purpose of the Sankhya Yoga is to understand what is the absolute truth. And the way the Sankhya Yoga process works is that one studies the material nature. Analyzing all the material elements and how they are interacting. And why they are interacting. And by studying the material elements, one ultimately comes to the conclusion that behind material nature is a spiritual force. Because matter is dead by nature, has no life. And ultimately it moves by the will of the Supreme. Like we say in English, not a blade of grass moves without the desire of the Supreme. So behind anything and everything is ultimately a spiritual force who is ultimately a person. The conclusion of Sankhya Yoga is very nicely summarized by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Maya dakshena prakriti suyute sacharacharam. Krishna says, I am behind the workings of this material nature. So the science of Sankhya Yoga was given to us by Lord Kapila Dev. Being an incarnation or expansion of God, he is perfectly qualified, he is the most qualified to speak about the material nature. There are many incarnations of the Lord. Ete chamsa kulopumsha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam indriya vyakalam lokam vidayunte yuge yuge. Unlimited, like the waves of the ocean. But all of them are expansions of Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. Krishnashtu bhagavan swayam. So Krishna is the creator of everything that is material and spiritual, so he knows the creation better than anyone. Aham savasya pavavo Matasarvam Bhavartate. I am the source of all that is material and all that is spiritual. If you create something, you know that product better than anyone else. Just like you make some microphone or something. If you invent it, and then you produce it, and then you sell it, you know it better than anyone. Or who knows a young child better than his mother? This little boy, what is your name? Is Mata here? Your mama here? Where's your mama? So, mother knows this boy better than me. I remember his face. I remember, very nice devotee. I remember he's a very nice, enthusiastic boy. But Mata, she knows him better than anybody in this room because she created him. Right. Even mothers know the children better than the fathers because the mothers are always with the children, at least in the beginning. No one can claim to know more about this boy than the mother. I'm saying he's a good boy, but Mata probably says sometimes he's a naughty boy also. But usually he's probably a good boy. Because he's Vaishnava. He's devoted. Right? So in the same way, who produced this material creation? From where has it come? The scientists, they can only say that this world around us was created by the explosion of a big chunk of rock. They say like that, that the cosmos came from a great explosion. But they cannot explain where the chunk came from. But we know that everything has its source in the personality of Godhead Krishna. And if you ask what is Krishna's source, he's eternal. Krishna says, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall we ever cease to be. But the material nature is sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest. And it comes from Krishna. So if we want to know anything about this material nature, we should approach that person who created it. Who, being present as the super soul within each and every atom of the universe, is maintaining it. And by whose will ultimately it will all be destroyed. We don't have to speculate about the world around us and invent so many theories. We simply have to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative and inquire submissively, what is the nature of this material world? Veda means knowledge, and there's many branches of Vedic knowledge. Some of them deal with the material nature. Like, for example, Sankhya Yoga. Why? Because there are certain people who are interested in understanding how this creation works. One who has an intelligent mind, he's always analyzing things. How does this work? How does that work? You know people like that, right? They just like to take everything apart and figure out how it works. I had a friend when I was young. He used to drive his parents crazy. Anything they bought him, he took it apart and analyzed how it was working. It started off with toys, and then he got older, radios, and record players, and tape recorders. And then one day before a big football game, the biggest football game in America, he decided to take apart the television set, but he couldn't figure out how to put it back together again. And then came computers. He mastered that. And eventually the United States Army hired him to work on sophisticated satellites, and now he's doing like spy work and trying to take, you know, decode different information from enemy countries. He's a brilliant man. He's a millionaire now, my friend. So there are, intelligence means to always be analyzing things, how they're working, etc. And that is the basis of the foundation of modern science. They analyze the tiny atom. They try to take it apart, although they haven't actually been able to completely analyze the atom. They try to analyze the atom. They try to analyze the great atom of the universe. And they're just trying to see how it works. So that science is also there in Vedic culture. But the Vedic science has a little bit of a different angle. Not so much how things work, but ultimately why things work. That is a difference in the approach of materialistic scientists and spiritual scientists. They're interested in understanding how everything works. We want to know why everything works. Why is there the material creation? The purpose of creation. That is how the transcendentalist applies his intelligence. That's actually more important. Just take my friend, for example. So it's one thing to try to figure out how everything is working, etc., etc. But the ultimate thing is, what is the purpose of that particular machine? Like if you're just concerned with taking apart the computer, but you never use the computer for what it's created, then what's the use? If you buy a radio and then you spend your whole life taking it apart and putting it back together, taking it apart, well, I mean, the radio's there, it's okay, it works in a certain way, but it's got a purpose. You turn it on and you hear the music. Govindam Madhipurusham. It's like in some communities you can hear Srimad Bhagavatam class on the radio. In our new Dwarka community in Los Angeles, it's a very big community, urban community. There's devotees living all over the city. So they have a little radio station, and they broadcast the Srimad Bhagavatam class every morning to devotees who are on their way to work or devotees who are just getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Did you go to class today? Oh, yeah. It was a great class. I heard it in the shower. So one thing is how something works, the other reason is why it works. So there's so much information in Vedic scriptures as to how this material creation is working. But ultimately that information is there to convince you that behind this material creation is an intelligent person, Krishna. And that the purpose of life is to surrender unto Him. Sarva dharmam padichaja mame kam sananam vaja kam tam sarva papebhyo moksasi masucha. Just abandon all varieties of activities and simply surrender unto me. I will protect you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. So some scientists, they reach this conclusion on their own. For example, Albert Einstein. He said, after all my study of this material universe, and he was very intelligent, he did a lot of study. He said, I have come to the conclusion that behind it all, there's an intelligent being. It took him his whole life to come to that conclusion. But if he just studied Bhagavad Gita carefully, he wouldn't have had to waste so much time. He could have spent time surrendering to that Supreme Person. And thus liberating himself from material existence. And this is the point, if one studies this material nature without the guidance of a spiritual master, without the guidance of Shastra and Sadhu, one may very easily waste time or come to the wrong conclusion. There, the scientists' a motivation for studying this material nature is how to exploit it and how to enjoy it. Right? They have science so they can make life a little easier. How they can go to the moon or to Mars and explore it and eventually live there. The purpose of their scientific research is ultimately simply how to increase sense gratification. Because they don't have proper guidance in studying the material nature, they come to the wrong conclusion. We also analyze the material nature, we also discuss the material nature, but with Krishna and Guru's help. And what conclusion do we come after studying about this material nature? Abhrama abhuvana loka punar avito arjuna mamopetite kuntiya punar janma nividyate. That from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery. Wherein repeated birth and death takes place. We're also scientists. We don't just talk about Krishna's Ras Leela. We're not ready for that. We can discuss it from time to time, but we're not ready for entering deeply into Krishna's esoteric pastimes. We had a short talk last night about Vrindavan. How wonderful are Radha Madhava's pastimes in Sri Vrindavan Dham and the 12 forests of Vrindavan. But many pastimes are very confidential, so we have to become qualified to hear them. Right now, being neophyte devotees, we're still attached to the material world. So in our Srimad Bhagavatam classes, we also talk about the fundamental principles of material nature. If we're transcendentalists, why are we studying the fundamental principles of material nature? Earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, ego. We study them so we come to the conclusion, Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam means a temporary place full of so many miseries. So we also have our scientific courses. This chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, is just taking apart the whole material energy and putting it back together again. Showing in detail how everything is working, even more specific than the greatest scientist can understand. But why are the transcendentalists studying such knowledge? Number one, to come to the conclusion, Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, it's a miserable place, I should get out of here. And number two, that behind it all is an intelligent person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's manipulating it all. And who is very kindly inviting us back to the other world. Which, unlike this world, which is temporary, full of miseries and ignorance, that world is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So there's no harm, science studying this material world, there's no harm in studying this world. But there is harm if you don't come to these conclusions. If due to your limited intelligence and puffed up nature, you come to the conclusion that the purpose of science is to exploit material nature, and behind material nature there's nothing, then you're a rascal. Prabhupada said, why is no one challenging these rascals? They say there's no soul. They say there's nothing after death. They say there's no God. They're rascals. Challenge them. Create the Bhaktivedanta Institute. Show them we can also analyze this material creation, but we come to the conclusion it's a miserable place, and behind it is Krishna, who's inviting us back to the spiritual world. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Bhaktivedanta Institute Ki, Gaur Premanandi. So thank you very much. Are there any questions? No questions? Okay, Maju. That's a very good point, actually. People who live closer to nature are more realistic in their understanding of how things work. They're more sensitive that behind nature there's a person, because if you study material nature very carefully, you can see the personal touch of the Lord. Just like when an intelligent person looks at a painting, he can see the artist in that painting. Like we have, you have several paintings up here. I know the artists who painted these. I can see their personality in these paintings, their type of technique. This painting in the Sringadeva was painted by Jadarani Dasi. And the painting of Krishna with Mother Yasoda was painted by Muralidhar. And this beautiful painting was painted by some Indian Baba. Indian personality. So if you look carefully at a painting, you can see the artist's touch within that painting, his style. You see the cause in the effect. Isn't it? Just like you have different cooks in the temple. And you can, even if you don't see who cooked the Sunday feast, I bet you can tell me every Sunday who cooked that particular feast. This week, it was Prabhu, this. Next week, it was Mataji. You know, because some cooks use more curd, some use more ghee, some use more sugar. So in the same way, one whose eyes are trained in knowledge, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this material nature. He can see the touch of Krishna in this material nature. In Poland, there's a big, huge billboard, and they always put it right next to the church, and it shows a huge electrical storm with all kinds of lightning and so forth, lighting up the whole night sky. And the title is "God Exists." Like a billboard. And even Krishna gives indications of how to see him in the material nature. 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Opulence of the Absolute. Of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. Of stars, I am the moon. Of the daityas, I am Prahlad. Anything wonderful is an indication of God. And those who are like farmers and people who live in villages, they're more sensitive to these things. They see how God's mercy is. They see how they can try, but without God's mercy, the flowers can't grow, the rain can't come, the sun can't shine. They're sensitive to these things. But that's about all they know. Because you need specific information about that person to really understand them. Anyone can have a sense that God exists. But to understand that Supreme Personality of Godhead, you need what? You need the association of devotees. Just like the rays of the dawn, before you see the sun, is called dawn, the golden rays of the sun. You see that before you see the sun globe come over the horizon. So in the same way, the mercy of a devotee precedes or comes before the mercy of God. We can't actually understand God without the mercy of His devotees. It is the devotees who bring to us the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. And the Lord in our heart sees that we have some interest in understanding Him beyond just realizing that He might be there. He directs us to His devotees. Brahmanda Brahmati Kon, Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasad, Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. We're wandering through this material creation, but when we develop a little sense of Krishna consciousness, a little desire to be Krishna conscious, Guru Krishna Prasad, Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach, the Lord directs us to the association of His devotees, and from them we learn about Him. So this is how the people of the villages can increase their God consciousness. When the devotees go there with a Harinam party and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Or the book distributors come with Prabhupada's books, or the Food for Life team comes in with prasadam. Right. We can come in and say, you know that person that you believe God? We know his name. We know his friends. We know which house he lives in. We know what village he lives in. We know what color of clothes he wears. We know what he likes to do. So without the mercy of a devotee, one can't go very far in understanding Krishna. So actually everything is in these books, everything we need. Not everything, but what we need to know to become pure devotees is in the books. Okay. Do you live in a village?
Yes.
Any other questions? Well, I think that we would have to speak about what specific instruction it is. No spiritual authorities will differ on the general instruction. Otherwise, you can't be an authority in Krishna consciousness unless you agree on the general instruction which is given by Srila Prabhupada or GBC. But there may be some differences on the details of how to execute that instruction. So that has to be discussed. And if it's a big problem that there's a difference between what the spiritual master says and the local authority, then the spiritual master and the local authority should work it out. So the disciple doesn't have to get confused and where his loyalty. We should be loyal both to our spiritual master and to our local authorities. And if there's some confusion on something, then it should be worked out on the higher level, and you should be peaceful. Any other questions? Sir? Say that again. What was your question? Right. Which is the best question to ask? Well, one time we were in the airport with Srila Prabhupada, New York City, and one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada how we can please him. What would please him the most? So I remember Prabhupada said, "That's a very nice question." What would please me the most? He said, "Chant Hare Krishna." Because chanting Hare Krishna is the seed or the foundation of all our success in Krishna consciousness. Another time somebody asked Prabhupada the question in Chicago, what would please him the most? And Prabhupada said, if you become a pure devotee of Krishna. And another time in Atlanta, they asked Prabhupada a similar question. What would make you most happy? And Prabhupada said, if you distribute lots of my books. So although they're different answers, they're all very much connected. We have to chant Hare Krishna to become pure devotees, and we become pure devotees, we have to be merciful to others and distribute this knowledge. Okay, I'd like to thank the devotees for this opportunity to speak on the fundamental principles of material nature. Okay. and have the opportunity to glorify the Supreme Creator, Lord Krishna. And also the opportunity to have your association, which has caused me to remember Krishna more and more. And we're sorry that the visit is so brief, but there are many places that to go and to preach Krishna consciousness. We have to move on. But it is not the first time we have been to Rijeka, and it is certainly not the last time that we will come to Rijeka. By God's grace, we will come again. Of course, we have a special affection or duty. But it is not the first time we have been to Rijeka, and it is certainly not the last time that we will come to Rijeka. By God's grace, we will come again. Of course, we have a special affection or duty, feeling of obligation to the Croatian Yatra. Because so many of you are helping, at least myself, in my my biggest preaching program, my festival tour in Poland. About 60% of my tour is Croatian devotees. And actually, though, Croatian devotees did a lot of very significant service on that festival tour. We did, from last May until through September, we did 64 major festivals. Each of our festivals, minimum 2,000 people, sometimes 8,000 to 10,000 people. We preached to at least 250,000 people. One quarter of a million people came and stayed 5 hours at our festivals, which is very significant. I saw a full program of cultural Krishna conscious entertainment. At least half of them took prasadam. We distributed tens of thousands of books, and millions of people heard their holy names. So it was very big yajna. We actually rocked the whole country, because at one point the government had to get involved, because the one mayor canceled our festival. India, the government of India was complaining to the government of Poland, and the government of Poland had to apologize to the Hare Krishnas. It was a big creature. So such things are possible only by the grace of Hari Guru Vaishnava, by God, Guru, and the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So now we are in Croatia. We have to thank those devotees who came, and the temple presidents who allowed them to come. And the devotees in general. And so we have an obligation. So that is why immediately after the festival tour finished, we came down to this part of the world. To say thank you very much. May Shri Prabhupada and Krishna bless all of you. So we have to leave in a few minutes. We're going to Ljubljana. But before we go, we would like to give Bhakta Andrei his new spiritual name. He was supposed to come for the initiation that I did at New Brajadam last week. But I know he got a flat tire. I got a flat tire coming in, he got a flat tire going out. So he wasn't there at the initiation ceremony. Although I was ready, I thought he would be the last person to come up. But he wasn't there. I had the beads and the name, and I said, where's Andre? Got a flat tire. Well, that shouldn't keep him from going back to Godhead. So in these cases, what Prabhupada would do is he would have the devotee say his vows before regulative principles and promise to chant 16 rounds a day, and he would get his beads, and Prabhupada would give the devotee a name, and later on at the right opportunity, he would sit in the next fire yoga. There would be a next fire yoga. He would just sit in that fire yoga and throw the grains, and then the initiation was complete. So, what are the four regulative principles which you promise to follow for the rest of your life? And chanting how many rounds every day? So yesterday we arrived and we gave a lecture about Vrindavan. Of course, the center of that lecture is the center of Vrindavan, Shishu Radha Madhava. You see the divine couple there in the painting on the right. I'm not sure who did that painting. But such a vision was the meditation of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he wrote that song, Jai Radha Madhava. So in the same mood, we will give you a very beautiful name. And everyone should give a big round of applause after. From this day on, your name will be Radha Madhava Das. Radha Madhava Das Ki. Yeah.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava. Good name. Radha Madhava Das Ki. Shira Prabhupada Ki. Shishi Gornitai Ki. Vieka Yatra Ki. Croatian Yatra Ki. Harinam Sankirtan Yagya Ki. Nitai Gaur Pimanandi. I'll see you in the springtime.